Hello guys, welcome to the Word Up Podcast. On this program, we discuss YouVersion's Bible verse of the day. If you're joining us for the very first time, we're glad you're here. I'm Matthew Ojas, your host, and it's my pleasure to share with you today. In today's episode, we will be looking at deceptive fantasies. Without further ado, let's dive into God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. I'll be reading from verses 4 to 5 for emphasis. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And the Passion Translation verse 5 says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Lovely scripture. It starts by telling us who would do it. We sometimes wait for God to do things that He has delegated to us. It is clear from this verse that when it comes to demolishing deceptive thoughts and ideas, God will not do that for us. But the New Living Translation reminds us that we're not doing so by using superior reasoning, but through God's mighty weapons, which we'll talk about later on in today's episode. Looking at the Passion Translation, the key word for me here is deceptive. All right, other translation would say casting down imaginations, demolishing arguments and pretension, and the Amplified Bible calls it sophisticated arguments. For anything to be deceptive, it means it carries a form and appearance of the original, such that if you don't look closely, you may not be able to tell. This calls for mastery of God's Word, which is God's tool, which is a tool of war. When we talked about not using human weapons of war, we're using God's method of war, and that's His Word. So this calls for mastery of God's Word, because except we have a good grasp of what God has said, His thoughts as expressed in His Word, which we call the Bible, we may not be able to effectively identify thoughts that are not from God. I'll say that again. Except we have a thorough grasp of God's Word, His thoughts as expressed in His Word, which we call the Bible, we may not be able to effectively identify thoughts that are not from God. This is a strategy of the enemy called Satan. He does not want children of God to have time for God's Word. He wants them occupied with other things such that their knowledge will be superficial. And then he can capitalize on that to rob them of their rights. Can I tell you this in another form? Satan does not want you to read, study, or meditate on God's Word. He would rather have you do anything else but engage in God's Word and prayer. The importance of these two cannot be overstated. We see the apostles in Acts how they thought it wise to delegate other duties that could have distracted them from the Word. Things like serving tables, those were quite important, don't get me wrong, because it was almost causing division amongst them. But that needed to be handled in a way that the Word will not suffer. Any activity that chokes the life of God's Word and prayer in us needs re-evaluation. I'll say it again. Any activity that chokes the life of God's Word and the life of prayer in us needs re-evaluation. All right, let's hear what the apostle said in Acts. He says, and so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the spirit of wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. That's in Acts 6:3-4. The ministry of prayer and the word is not limited to apostles alone. Before you say, oh, they were apostles and it's for them alone. No. Every child of God ought to know the Father, and these two, prayer and the Word, are the major means by which we know Him. Prayer is having a dialogue with Him, and the Word is listening to the Father speak to us. Prayer and the word are not limited to pastors, vicars, apostles alone. Therefore, everyone were enlisted as children of God. Because by these two means, we hear God speak to us. We communicate with God through prayer and his word. This will be tested whether we like it or not. Even Jesus needed to prove his knowledge of the word as he was confronted with deceptive thoughts from the devil after he fasted and prayed 40 days, 40 nights. Watch what the devil says to Jesus, the living word. If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. That was Matthew 4:6. The devil was quoting Psalm 91:11-12. He was quoting that to Jesus. Was that the word of God? Yes, it was. Was the application God intended? No, it wasn't. And this is where having a thorough knowledge of God's word would help in time of adversity. It's okay to know what your bishop, vicar, or pastor says, but that will not save you in time of need. The only thing that will rescue you is your knowledge of what God said in his word. It is dangerous to make five sentences and quote your pastor more than you reference God. I mean, what you received in the place of study. I've heard people with so much excitement say, "Pastor says, pastor says, pastor says." And I remember visiting a fellowship in my first year in uni as a freshman. And almost everyone that came up used the line, "Pastor said." And I began to wonder, when would we start talking about what God was saying? I appreciate there are different levels of Christianity and we grow from one level to another. If this is where you are at the moment, I do not condemn you, but I wish that you would grow to the point where you desire God speaking to you directly. One major difference between childhood and adulthood is responsibility. Children don't work. They don't think about bills or how money comes or goes, but they expect you to feed them when they're hungry. God bless you if you don't make food appear when they need it. But as you grow, even as an older child, you begin to learn the act of being responsible. Full responsibility rests upon you when you become an adult. Herein lies the problem. Some adults still operate at the childhood level where they expect someone else to do things for them. It ought not be so. There should be progress in life. The same is with the Christian faith. Children desire sincere milk of God's word, but as you grow older in the journey, you become more responsible in finding your game, for solid food is for the mature. What this means is not that to neglect the assembly of God's children, no, because we always have people over us that preside over us and teach us God's word. That's good in itself. But as you mature in Christianity, you then grow to the point where you do not solely depend on what you have been taught, but you then go one step higher to, you know, digging deep into God's word for yourself and finding things out and searching the scripture yourself to know what God is saying. When you have situations, you are going into God's word to have God's perspective about different areas of your life. You're about to make decisions. You're going into God's word. You're praying and seeking God's face to know what he has to say regarding your life and your circumstances. That's maturity. And by doing this, we increase in skill. Hebrews 5 says, those who by reason of use have exercised their senses. You know, it's just like exercising. As you use a muscle, you tend to know better. You grow in it better. You know how to do it better. So as we tend to go and engage God's word ourselves, we tend to increase in skillfulness in knowing how to do this. As we bring this to a close, we use God's mighty weapon, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. God's mighty weapon is his word. We will face many obstacles that keep people from knowing God, things that exalt themselves against God, hindrance to people coming to the faith or even trying to pull them away from the faith. Remember, they are always subtle and appear like the truth. But we need to have a good grasp of God's word, God's powerful tool, to pull them down. It is my prayer that God will give us grace to know when to stop, what to delegate, and what to focus on as we go on this journey. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, which is our mighty weapon of war. Help us, dear Lord, to grow in our study of your word, in our meditation of your word. Help us to grow in your word in totality. Help us to make your word our stronghold and to grow in skill as we use your word daily. Thank you, Father. I'm praying, dear Father, that we increase in wisdom to understand, to decipher, to discern every deceptive fantasy, every deceptive thought, deceptive argument, that we're able to discern and pull them down through your word. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. It's always a pleasure to bring you God's word. Thank you for joining in today. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into the Word Up podcast today. We hope you've been blessed and inspired by God's word. If you've got any questions or comments, you could leave them at the comment section below or email us at worduppodcast21@gmail.com. worduppodcast21@gmail.com. We'll be delighted to read from you. You can also do well by letting us know where you're listening from and how this program has blessed you. See you next time for another exciting and inspiring episode of the Word Up Podcast. God bless you.